Let me start by telling you a story about a family in China. They were from America, and they'd been missionaries for a few years, for quite a few years, actually. And they went over, and they had regular jobs, and then they started an underground church because it's illegal, of course, to be Christian there, or and especially to be mercenaries, or missionaries. And so they operated this way for quite some time, but then they were eventually discovered. They were told they were going to be under house arrest and then sent back to the United States. And so they were just waiting for that day to come when they would be sent back to the U.S. One day a Chinese soldier comes, knocks on their door and says, "Hey, today's the day you're going back to the United States. I'll be back in a few hours. You can take 200 pounds of stuff with you, but nothing over 200 pounds. That's it." And so he left, and the family, man and wife and their two kids, they were left to try and figure out what they were going to take. What goes, what stays. They spent quite a few years there. They had accumulated plenty of stuff. And they'd already begun packing, so it was kind of easy. But the wife had different decorations, pictures, memories of their time as a family, things that she wanted to see go, things that were important to her. And Glenn had his own boxes packed with his books and stuff. Of course, he had a computer too, and the kids had toys and everything they'd picked up. They had their stuff that they wanted to take back. So for a couple hours, they just debated back and forth. Finally, they weigh everything that they decided to take, and it was over 200 pounds. So they argue and go back and forth some more. What stays, what goes. Weigh it again. Come back, weigh it again and again. Finally, they get it down to 200 pounds, right on the dot. And when the soldier came back later, he said, "Are you ready to go?" And they said, "We're ready." "200 pounds?" He said, "Yeah, 200 pounds. And the soldier was like, soldier saw their pile of stuff, and he said, "Did you weigh the kids?" "No, we didn't weigh the kids." He says, "Weigh the kids." Suddenly, nothing else mattered about stuff in the boxes. Suddenly, what they had been arguing about and bickering about, suddenly all those debates were irrelevant. Weigh the kids. And when you weigh the kids, it puts everything else into perspective, right? It didn't matter about the decorations or the books or the computer or anything else. Nobody cared about that stuff. It's just weigh the kids. And in that moment, they had a different perspective. Their values were realigned. And I think that story describes a lot of us at Christmas. We get focused on the season, and we forget about the reason behind all of it. Until about the 4th century AD, the Christmas story wasn't something that was celebrated in the whole church. I know many of us grew up thinking December 25th, that's the birthday of Jesus. Okay, it's possible. There's a 1 in 365 chance that's the day he was born on. But we don't really know. That's the truth. And yet, I would tell you this, that December 25th is not some random day that they plucked off the calendar. Instead, here's what happened. 300 years ago, 300 years after Jesus was born, the early church wanted to celebrate his birth. And there were a few factors that came into play. But when they were identifying what day they would do this on, they looked at the calendar and they picked this day that was in the middle of what they call the winter solstice. And it was thought to be the coldest and the darkest day of the year. December 25th, the coldest and darkest day of the year, is the day that we're going to celebrate that Jesus was born because he brought light and life into a dark and cold world. That's how John recognizes or remembers the birth of Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it reads, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And that's what we really celebrate at Christmas, that in this cold, dark world, light and life has come. We read about the first Christmas in Luke 2. It says, "The time came for the baby to be born. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them," the angel speaks into the darkness of night, and he says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And so into this dark, cold night, this declaration is made about good news of great joy. What makes it good news of great joy is that a Savior has been born, and he's come at just the right time. A Savior has been born to save us from our sins. Now, that sounds great, but for a large number of people in and out of the church here tonight, they don't like the idea of being sinful or in need of a Savior. We try not to think of ourselves as someone who needs saved from sin. Instead, what we do is we compare ourselves to someone else in society. And we think, well, compared to them, I'm doing fine. Compared to this person over here, I'm doing okay. We grade ourselves on a curve. But the Bible says that we all need a Savior. We are all imperfect, incapable of saving ourselves. And the only hope that we have is this child lying in a manger a little over 2,000 years ago. Like, that is the only hope that we have. If we want heaven to be our home, if we want to experience the eternal life that God has promised us, that only happens through Jesus Christ. That is the good news of great joy, that God has made a way for us. The other thing that makes this such a good news, when the angel makes this announcement, he says it's for all people. I mean, obviously, what makes good news good is when you're involved, right? That makes a difference. And the fact that this announcement gets made to the shepherds kind of proves the whole point. Because shepherds in those days were not looked upon with favor. They really were a group that lived on the edge of society. These are people whom the angel appears to declare the light and life of Jesus has come. And if it's true for them, then it's true for us. The wise men and the shepherds in this Christmas story are at two completely opposite ends of the spectrum. And I think that's what's happening there is the story is for everyone. A friend of mine a few years ago was working on a better way of understanding John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You know, the term the world is kind of a broad term. What does it really mean when you read that? So he just used the alphabet. He started going through and listing, writing down types of people or different persons that God loved in the world. So I started looking at this, and I added a little bit to it and changed some things, thinking about all people. Good news of great joy for all people. Or who are all people? Is there a cutoff? Is there a requirement to be a certain type? So we're just going to work our way through the alphabet here for just a couple of minutes. Now, for some of you, this will be a good review because you do too much texting and you've forgotten what a vowel is. So here we go. Good news of great joy for all people. A, airline pilots, attorneys, ambulance drivers, artists, acrobats, astrologers, auditors, the Amish, Anglicans, adulterers, the agnostics, the atheists, the addicts, the arrogant, the absent-minded, all people. B, babies, babysitters, Baptists, boy bands, blondes, brunettes, and blue hairs, the bullied and the bullies, the brave, the bossy, the bitter, the bummed out, the burned out, the broke, and the broken. It's all people. Canadians, Cambodians, Cubans, Mark Cuban, CEOs and custodians and cooks and crooks and criers and cutters, crystal meth users and critics and cat lovers and critics of cat lovers. All people. Dads, Democrats, dishwashers, deadbeats, drag racers, drag queens, drama queens, disc jockeys, and the dude who's going to cut you off on the way home. Elvis impersonators, environmental activists, evolutionists, exaggerators, emoji users, and Eminem. Faithful and all the faithless, fearful and the fearless, the forgetful and the forgotten, the frustrated, the finicky, the good, the grateful, the generous, the greedy, the gassy, the glamorous, the gullible, the grouchy, the guilty, all people. The hard workers, the hardly working, the harsh, the homeless, the homosexual, the homophobic, the Harley riders, the hipsters, India, Indiana, introverts, influencers, illusionists, IRS agents, janitors, jugglers, late night jammers, and late night talk show hosts named Jimmy, Chloe, Courtney, Kim, Kendall, Kylie, Kanye, and all the Karens. Lazy, loud, lousy, lethargic, the landscaper, the lawyer, the lunch ladies, the latte lovers, and the left-handed. mimes, Mennonites, missionaries, moms, mask wearers, meticulous, mischievous, malicious, and Miley and Madonna and Marilyn, both Monroe and Manson. The nerdy, the needy, the narrow-minded, the naive, the narcissistic, Nicki Minaj, New York Knicks, all those who love Nickelodeon. The obese, the obnoxious, the old-fashioned, and every name you've ever read in the obituary. Preachers, pimps, politicians, police officers, protesters, progressives, pornographers, prostitutes, pill poppers, the pushy, and the prideful. The quiet, the quitters, the questioning, the queer, the Quislings, and Queen Latifah. Russians, Rwandans, real estate agents, Republicans, road raiders, the responsible, the rebellious, the reclusive, and those with regret. The sassy, the spunky, the sarcastic, the serious, the South Africans and the Somalis, the smokers, the strippers, and all those who wear house slippers. Telemarketers, the television reporters, the trainers, the teenagers, the transgressors, the transgenders, the talented, the timid, and all those who are a train wreck. Victorious, the victims, the vegetarians, the vaccinated people from Virginia, the well-behaved, the wicked, and the worrier, and the whiny, and the waitress, and the woman who weighs you in at Weight Watchers. X-ray technicians, the xenophobic, the xylophone players, and those with the X factor. The young, the yappy, the yuppies, and loud yawners. The zealous, the zany, and the zookeepers. And what did I forget? You. Young you, adolescent you, old you, and you without makeup, you without muscles, you at your very best, and you at your absolute worst. And confused you, and content you, timid you, silly you, and self-conscious you, and arrogant you, and unemployed you, and entitled you, and fearful you, and lonely you, guilty you, bitter you, and the brokenhearted you, adorable you, and unlovable you, single you, and divorced you, separated you, and widowed you, the angry you, the cynical and cowardly you. To all those, I say, I bring you good news of great joy, and it's for all people. A Savior has been born. That's what the name Jesus means. Every time you say his name, you're speaking salvation into somebody's life. And so this Christmas, we celebrate that our hope is in him. Our hope is in him alone. And this is good news of great joy for all people. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we are so grateful for the gift of your Son and your love and your and grace in our lives every day. We pray, Lord, that at this time of the year, as we leave here and we go about the next few days and interact with everybody, that they would see you living through us, that they would see the hope we have for the future, the contentment we have with this life, knowing that it's just preparation for the next, and that we can glorify you in the way we interact with people. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.